Hello and welcome to episode 78 of MMO Weekly, presented as always by Chitty's Cheesesteaks. I'm your host, Sal Manzo, joined this week by historian for MMO and author of New York Mets all-time all-stars, Brian Wright. Brian, thanks so much for coming on today. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely, Sal. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. And we have some positive things to talk about in the second week of the season. First week didn't seem too great, but obviously with the win today, lopsided win 16-4, I believe. The Mets win a series in Atlanta for the first time, it feels like, in who knows how long. They never really win there, and I don't think most people expected that at the beginning of the year. But they win a hard-fought series in Atlanta. I'm pretty sure the next time they're not back until there, they were saying on the broadcast, was the last weekend of the season or something like that, or at least until September, so quite a long time. But, you know, a nice bounce-back series for a team that, you know, the first few games in seemed to not really have it together. But, you know, this looks like the competitive kind of Mets team that we all thought here. So I just want to get your thoughts on this series here in Atlanta, you know, wrapping up.
Yeah, I mean, they were kind of stuck at the starting gate, or if you want to use like horse racing terms, they were just kind of like, you know, kind of not really getting out of the gates quickly, to put it mildly. You know, but that Atlanta series, I mean, I think 2022, I think July 2022, when Max Scherzer, who shall rarely be mentioned from now on, had a great first start, and they won, I think it was 2 out of 3. And that was kind of the last time that the Mets really took control of a series in Atlanta and generally. And when you mentioned the last time that the next time they'll go back there is late September, I just shudder at that. Not only thinking about 2 years ago, but just about every time they go to Atlanta, not only in, you know, not only just most times, but especially late in the season. I mean, they have, you know, dating back to like the late 90s, obviously it doesn't help that the Braves have almost always been good, but dating back to the late 90s, I mean, they were going to Atlanta late in the season, needing to win either all 3 games or 2 out of 3 was just an impossible task. So at least as far as this series in early mid-April, it's good to see, especially considering, as you mentioned, the beginning of the season left a lot to be desired.
Yeah, definitely. And one of those games, obviously, Brandon Nimmo ties the game, I believe, twice, 2 different times with home runs. They win that game without Edwin Diaz closing it out, which might have been the most remarkable thing. They were able to piece that together. And then today, just kind of a nice offensive onslaught. You see McNeil had a nice big day. You know, Lindor's kind of hopefully getting things going here. Alonso. Alvarez had, I believe, an RBI double today. So, you know, things are straightened out there. Obviously, the news of JD Martinez, you're not going to have him starting the season sooner than you wanted. So it's good to see the guys that they have here really getting the bats going. DJ Stewart, another guy, obviously hit a clutch home run the other night, his first hit of the year, actually. So, you know, it was a nice little series. Like you said, you know, it's decades. It feels like going to Atlanta, the Mets don't have success. So it was nice to see. And the starting pitching did pretty well as well. So, you know, that's something that you want to see.
Yeah, and the starting pitching has been pretty good all season. I mean, this is our whole season. It's, you know, it's a couple weeks. So far, they've been pretty good. And Atlanta is where most of the time your kind of pitching goes to die, and especially with that offense. And they held up pretty well. I mean, even the game that they lost, not saying the pitching was great, because what was it? They gave up with 7 runs or something like that. The game they lost, they came back in the end. And made it a 1-run game. I forget if it was 6-5 or 7-6, but made it close. So 2 out of 3, and the third one kind of being close. I mean, I know the first one was just a complete hang on by the edge of your seat kind of game, but it was nice to see the offense really come back, come through. Especially, it goes without saying, today with 16 runs. I didn't catch a lot of it, but I did catch some highlights. So I definitely will have to watch it again. And it was nice to see, not that I was happy to see him on the mound, but Luis Guillorme pitching for the Braves.
Yeah.
Was especially funny.
Yeah, that was strange to see, especially with still using his Mets colored glove there, it looked like. So, you know, weird to see on a few levels. But before we kind of move on to, you know, the big reason why we wanted you on here today, I obviously have to just talk a little bit about Brett Baty. Really, so far in the year, swinging the bat well. And most importantly, it seems like he's really improved defensively from last year to this year. I don't know what he did in the – I know he worked with Lindor in the offseason and took kind of his fielding routine on to get him ready. And, you know, just really impressed so far with what you've seen with Brett Beatty as far as especially at the plate and even more so defensively, I would say.
Yeah, looks really poised. Looks like he's, you know, hasn't let the past troubles really get to him and kind of snowball, which is really nice to see. He's kind of feels like he's put it behind him. It's not a big sample size this first part of the year, but it's really good to see. It's been especially impressive to me. Usually if you hit a ground ball that side of the infield, you kind of shudder, usually with Beatty there, but I haven't really felt that way so far. You feel pretty much at ease when it's going that way, whether it's Francisco Lindor fielding it or now Brett Beatty. His offense has been pretty good, but I've been most impressed with his fielding. I mean, made a couple plays in Cincinnati. I think it was that Friday night game. Really, were really impressive to me. So really like what I see so far. Really happy to see it, not just from the Mets perspective of their success, but just his own personal success.
Yeah, definitely. And this for someone who's just only since second full season in the big leagues here going to be, you know, it's something that, you know, it can take time. Keith Hernandez talked a lot about it. He said he took him about 3 years till he really felt comfortable and felt like he could succeed in the big leagues. So, you know, it's nice to see him get off, you know, to a good start here. You know, maybe a little pressure, you know, feeling that time could be limited at that position if he didn't really take off and run with it. Had something to do with it, but it's a good start, and hopefully he can kind of hold on to it. And Keith made a good point today. You know, you'll see really, you know, the changes the first time he struggles and see how he gets out of that and makes adjustments and stuff. So, you know, until then, at least he's swinging the bat well. Looks like he, you know, is confident up there. And like you said, his defense is really taking a big step forward, which we should be really thankful for. But, you know, I want to move on from these Mets to a past Met who on Sunday is going to get his just due here with the team. Obviously talking about Doc Gooden getting his number 16 retired with the club. Brian, I mentioned before, you are the historian for Metsmerized. You do a lot of great videos with TikTok recapping different things throughout MLB history, different seasons, things of that nature. Just talk to us a little bit about the significance just to Dwight Gooden as a member of the Mets and just how historically dominant this guy was when he wore a Mets uniform.
Yeah, I mean, no one has really in baseball history, not much less Mets history, has really started the way Dwight Gooden started. And at 19 and 20 years old, and I'm specifically talking about his first two seasons, 1984 as a teenager, not yet 20, really bursting onto the scene, making games at Shea Stadium events. It coincided with the Mets getting better after all those years, you know, languishing at the bottom of the standings, finishing the last 5 out of 7 years. Certainly the, you know, call up of Daryl Strawberry in 83 and the trade for Keith Hernandez really helped, but Dwight Gooden really solidified that the Mets were for real. And then of course, a year later, Gary Carter, and then the next year, World Series. But 84 and 85, I mean, Dwight Gooden bursting on the scene, rookie of the year, almost won the Cy Young, 276 strikeouts. What really stands out relative to other pitchers in that era and even before was the strikeout per nine, which 11.4, which was the highest rate ever. I mean, I know now it's just been, you know, it's like now it like ranks like 40th or something like that. Sure. But at the time it was the highest. So all those things in that rookie year are just really phenomenal at his age. And the way he, you know, going back 1983, I mean, he went from single A, struck out 300 in less than 200 innings for the single A team, moved up to triple A and helped the Tidewater right before the playoffs, moved to Tidewater, helped them win the triple A minor league World Series. So the Mets organization was well aware. Frank Cashin was hesitant. The GM was hesitant to bring him up, but Davey Johnson, who had just managed the Tides and was now taking the major league job, insisted that Dwight couldn't come up. Proved to be a very wise decision. And then on from 84, 1985, to me is the best Mets pitching season ever. I mean, it's one of the best pitching seasons ever, major league history, not just Mets history. 1.53 ERA is insane. He struck out 268, so he scaled back the strikeouts just a little bit, but still led the league and led. He won the pitching triple crown. I mean, it wasn't just like just the ERA; it was the wins, which meant a little bit more back then. But 24 wins to 4 losses, the ERA and the strikeout title, and then you know after that didn't. Come up to that level, but it's pretty hard to come up to that level. Obviously, internal demons, injuries. It's hard to, you know, it's really, you could say pretty easily, oh, his personal troubles were the reason for his downfall, if you will. But he did have some injuries in 89. He had a shoulder injury. He had another more injuries in 91. So it was kind of coupled together, but you take it in totality. Pitched for 11 years in New York.
Sure.
And, you know, we can say for certainty he's in that top three with Seaver and DeGrom. And when you take into account 1985, you take into account Seaver's years, you take into account DeGrom's back-to-back Cy Young's, Gooden's 1985 still stands above the rest. So I think we look back at Dwight Gooden and, you know, Daryl Strawberry later, and I think with the passage of time, we have a little more empathy for people and their, you know, mental health, their background, and we are understanding of bringing them to an environment like New York, bringing them to this market, and what it could lead to. And I think these days we don't make the same mistakes in terms of how we handle those players, and we kind of make sure that they're on the right track. So, and they've both been pretty. They've admitted their faults. So I think passage of time, us having empathy, sympathy for him, for both of them, has allowed us to kind of look back. And then the last factor is they were both in the last championship team in Mets history.
Sure.
You know, we're going on 40 years. I'm almost going on 40 years. So we look back at like now 4 decades since that title. It resonates more. Since it's the last one, and they were both part of it. Dwight Gooden was part of it. I mean, he still was a terrific pitcher in 86. You know, and I think with Keith going in, you know, the Hall of Fame induction of like Ron Darling, it makes sense that Dwight Gooden is here. And it's been, you know, like a lot of these number of retirements, it's been a long time coming. So Dwight Gooden, this is something that should have happened, and he gets his rightful place.
Yeah, and I totally agree. And you mentioned Daryl, and you know, it's there. Obviously, the two of them are always going to be linked together, like you said. You know, two of the main cogs of the last championship winning team, both homegrown players. So there's obviously a lot to that. I guess before I want to ask a couple more things about Doc, with you know the two of them getting their numbers retired now. And I'm glad they did that separately and they each get their own day, which I think they both deserve. So the Mets did the right thing with that. Mm-hmm. Who do you want to see, I guess, from that 86 team after that get their number retired? Because I feel like you kind of there's probably a core group of guys, and obviously with Keith and now Doc and Daryl getting their numbers retired, I'm wondering if there's any more players, if you feel like Gary Carter should, you know, be in that group as well. Obviously, he didn't play here a ton of years like Keith, but had a big impact on the club. I'm just kind of curious your thoughts there.
Yeah, I think Gary Carter is the natural next step. Okay. If you want to kind of complete the set of 86, Gary Carter, it needs to also be retired. I think a few years ago, if you would ask me, I probably would have, you know, taking emotion out of it and taking, you know, how we all feel about Gary Carter now that he's been passed, you know, more than 12 years.
Sure.
Taking emotion out of it,
right.
I would have said kind of what you said. Was he here long enough? He right. certainly made an impact with 86, and 85 was a great year. But in terms of his like prime seasons, he really only had 2 with the Mets. Most of them were with Montreal. So I would have said, you know, probably not. You know, it's a close, but I think when with everything that's been going on, like I mentioned with Keith, now with mm-hmm. with Doc, with Daryl, and other, you know, number retirements, you know, Willie Mays being retired, who only sure. played with the Mets 2 years, but we understand the sentimentality behind the decision. I thought it was a great decision to do that. I think we are trending in the direction of someone like Gary Carter getting retired. He may not have played for as many years. He may not have had his elite, all of his, you know, a lot of elite seasons with the Mets, but I think impact sure. and what he means to a lot of people, what he means to the franchise, I think he's the next one. I don't, in terms of like those teams, the mid-80s, late-80s teams, I don't see anyone else getting retired. But to me, it's just like, that's just like the missing, just like Gary Carter was the missing piece for that championship team. I think he's the missing piece here as far as number of retirements.
Yeah, no, I agree. That kind of quartet are the ones that I think you really have to round it out with that team. But I also am curious, too. Were you surprised that Keith got his number retired before Gooden and Strawberry? Were you surprised by that at all?
Not really. Okay. I mean, if I had to say 1986, who was most impactful? Okay. I'm not saying impact means who should get his number retired first, but I think of impact. I think of Keith Hernandez. If you pull most of the players and say who is most important to that team's success, you'd say Keith Hernandez. And you know, I think in terms of spectacularness, if that's a word, it's Dwight Gooden and Daryl Strawberry are the two. I mean, they were phenomenal, phenomenal players. But I think in terms of just importance to the team, and you know, the trade in June 1983 that really kind of, you know, was the catalyst to everything that came after it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't surprise me that Keith was the first.
Sure. Makes sense. The captain, that whole deal, right? Mm-hmm. And obviously rounding out kind of the 86 team then is the next outside of, you know, Gary Carter and wrapping all that up. Do you think that we'll see David Wright's number retired sooner rather than later? Obviously, he seems like would be the next obvious choice, being the captain after a career Met, the whole thing, you know, the last kind of generation of player to this one. I'm just kind of curious what you think there.
Yeah, I definitely think David Wright will get his I don't know if he's next. I don't know. Right. I don't know what they're going to do, but it's a matter of time before David Wright gets his. I don't know if I guess it's just waiting enough years after his retirement after 2018 to let that happen. I mean, I know there's been other players who they just do it right away, but you know, it's perfectly fine. And you know, David's like 40 or 41. He's barely 40. So it feels weird that he's still so young, relatively speaking, to kind of what we just imagine him. That I think that's just a matter of time. That'll happen eventually. We just have to wait, whether it's next year or a couple years from now.
Yeah, right. I guess it kind of seems like, I don't know if David Wright is the one that maybe wants to, you know, put it off. I know he didn't come to Old Timers Day a couple of years because he didn't feel like he was an old timer yet. So maybe that's one of those things that once he's kind of ready and they want to do that, then they will. I guess you give this 86 generation their kind of due here now, and we'll see. It all comes down to, I guess, to what years that they're worse or better, and you want to sell some more tickets to get people in the building. But that's a whole nother thing. But I want to kind of round out the show today. We talked about current Mets, past Mets, now future Mets. Christian Scott lit the ball up the other day for Triple A. I believe he struck out like 10 batters for Triple A. Had a great start. Just want to, you know, talk to you a little bit there. You know, the starting pitching has been good so far to start the year for the Mets, but we know guys like Scott are going to probably get their chances this year at some point to show what they have, you know, for 25 and beyond for the big league clubs. So just want to get your thoughts there.
Yeah, it's really great to see because really the latest run of prospects has been not only who have come up, but who have been kind of been the focus for the most part, have been position players. I mean, we really haven't had a big pitcher come up since, you know, the days of DeGrom, Harvey, and Syndergaard and so forth. So it's great to see a pitcher shine on the AAA level and potentially, you know, come up to the major league level, whether that's, you know, I would be safe to say that there are going to be minor leaguers called up, whether it be just a plain call up because they're ready, or whether it's a necessity for injury, which we know always happens and you need an emergency starter. So I'm excited to see him on the major league level. You know, I pay a little more attention than I did maybe like a few years back in terms of minor leaguers. But whenever I hear this, you know, promising players, it's certainly a bright spot, because especially from the pitching side, because like I said, it's been pretty barren in terms of promising prospects as far as arms are concerned. After all the richness of Mets prospects from, you know, 10 years back.
Yeah, right. It feel, like you said, it feels like they haven't had a huge pitching prospect in a while. And if someone like your Christian Scott or Mike Vassell, if one of these guys can kind of pan out and be, you know, a quality major league starter, hopefully towards the front end, that's what you hope for. But that's a good start. Obviously, striking out 10 guys and allowing just over one run. I forget how many ever innings it was. So that's, you know, mm-hmm. something you hopefully can build on. Mark Vientos had his second homer in, I think, like 5 days. So he looks good down in AAA. Hopefully he's up sooner rather than later. If JD Martinez is still going to be on the shelf for a while, there's no reason for him to be doing that in AAA. I'd rather him get the at-bats up here. So we'll see what happens there. But, you know, between Gilbert and Little Acuna as well, they're starting to heat up in AAA. They got off to a bit of a slow start, but I think they're heating up also. So things are looking good down in the farm, right? We keep looking ahead to the future here, but this Mets team now looking pretty competitive, and hopefully some of these guys can really, you know, come up and make an impact for hopefully in the club for the next couple of years here.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. I mean, after the disaster of last year, with they kind of, you know, the organization really pivoted, I think pivoted correctly. They kind of own their mistakes with regards to the way the team was structured and made the best out of a bad situation with those trades for Gilbert, Acuna, and that it seems to be hopefully it'll bode well, and it's appearing that way. And I think you know, you can never have too much promise as far as in the minor league system, and the Mets have not really done a good job in the past of keeping their farm system kind of strong. So, you know, it'll work out. I think, you know, for other franchises have done things like this, Dodgers, Astros. Now we're seeing what the Orioles have been doing with their, you know, embarrassment of riches from the minor league system. So it doesn't hurt to have more prospects that either, you know, not to be impersonal, but like you could possibly trade for a player at the trade deadline. I'm not saying they're going to do that this year, but down the line you could do something like that. But I think for this team in this year, it gives the possibility of a call up that could you know create a spark if it's needed.
Yeah, definitely. So you know things are looking up here, even at the big league level, they're settling in. So. You know, good things all around here. And as the season gets rolling, you know, it's nice to have it back and in the thick of things. And hopefully the Mets don't get too many more rainouts as they go on. But until then, we'll catch you next week, caught up with everything going on. And as always, let's go Mets.